141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Please gamble responsibly.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Scott Brown says clinching a title win against Rangers on Sunday would be the sweetest victory he's experienced in the fixture. Former Gers captain Lee McCulloch believes Steve Clarke or Alex Neil would be ideal to take over from Graham Murty. And Ross County appoint co-managers in a bid to survive relegation. Your co-pundits this evening are Gordon Dalziel and Roger Hannah.
And it's nice when the Celtic captain picks up the Old Firm gauntlet early in the week. Gordon, he has said Rangers are not the best of the rest, are not the second best team in Scotland, and it's now up to Rangers to take it back to Scott Brown. Scott Brown says Hibernian are second best. Hibernian beat Celtic at the weekend. The only way for Rangers to disprove Scott Brown's words are for Rangers to do something similar at Parkhead on Sunday.
But you've got to ask yourself a question, Roger. Have they got the mental strength, character, everything about them? I watched the game at the weekend. Me personally, I was disgusted with the behaviour of Candace bypassing his manager and going over. You know, see if he showed the same spirit the week prior at Hampden, instead of walking up the tunnel like a silly little boy, I would respect that. Not for me. I think Celtic will win comfortably at the weekend. Scott Brown's quite right. He's confident. He knows his team's better, and they will produce it.
0141 951 1025. If you'd like to get in touch, you can send us a tweet at Clyde SSB as well, but the phone lines are open, so give us a call. It's good to speak to you over the phone. Let's hear from Scott Brown to kick things off, shall we? He says clinching the title against Rangers would be the best Old Firm victory of his career. The midfielder says they'll be fired up for the game on Sunday after missing out on the title against Hibs. But Brown says winning in front of your own fans against your biggest rivals would be extra special.
It'd be lovely. Be great, especially at Celtic Park as well. I think that's the thing that everyone was looking forward to. And it was a disappointing result at the weekend there, but it's a great way to bounce back for us now. They'll love it. Puts a smile on everyone's face again. But we need to make sure we turn up and we do our job, and we need to make sure we win as well. We've had a couple of hard games against them at Celtic Park, so the pitch is looking good and the lads are looking forward to it. I think they're going to have to come after us a little bit more and try and set their own mark on the game, but we'll do what we always do. We turn up, we play our own game, and as I said before, when we turn up, we know that we can beat any team in this country, and we've done it in the past and we'll do it again. It's always special to win a title at Celtic Park and against Rangers as well. To do it on that day, it would be fantastic for everyone, and I'm sure the fans will be loving it if we do. I think that's now, I think it's 10 games we're undefeated against them, so it's a start for itself, but every game is different. We're looking forward to it. It's going to be hard. They're going to make it harder for us than they have done in the past, but we believe that when we turn up, we can win, we can dominate the game.
If you were to win the title against Rangers, would that be the sweetest Old Firm victory you'd had?
Yeah, it'd be the sweetest Rangers Celtic victory, yeah. Especially at Celtic Park, our fans there as well, and put the icing on the cake.
How disappointing was it on Saturday not to clinch the title, Scott?
Yeah, and everyone wanted to do it, but as I said before, Lenny's got Hibs flying. They're going for second spot, and it was a great result of the weekend for them there, and now they can push on.
So Scott Brown says a win this weekend, the title clincher, would be the sweetest victory against Rangers he's ever experienced. Celtic fans, do you agree? And if not, then what would be your sweetest? And Rangers fans, don't think you can't join in. I'm keen to get your memories as well of your sweetest victory against your rivals. You see where he's coming from, Roger?
Yeah, it would be historic, certainly. I think Celtic have only clinched the championship at home to Rangers once, back in 79. A certain Murdo McLeod scored from what seems to get 5 yards further out every time the story is told, Gordon. So, you know, that's almost 40 years ago. It would be momentous for Celtic. They've had to wait almost 20 years for a chance to atone for the night that Rangers won the league title at Celtic Park in 99. It promises to be quite an encounter. And, you know, Dan's touched upon what happened at Hampden a couple of weeks ago. You would struggle to think that Rangers could be that bad again. So it could be an interesting game.
I think they could, Roger, to be quite honest with you. I think that Celtic have got the beating of them. And I think that's why Scott Brown, the Celtic captain, is so confident. And you should be. because as a Rangers player, they probably won't enjoy pitching up at Parkhead on Sunday, because Celtic will be right up for a game. I thought there was a lack of character against them at Hampden. And when you look against Hearts this weekend, yeah, fine, they got the result, they needed the result, that's great. I thought it was the worst Hearts side I've seen for a long time. I've never seen a manager so negative against Rangers when they were there to have a go at. I don't think Celtic will be in that frame of mind come Sunday. They want the title, they want the party, and I think Rangers are in for a long, long day.
And you can see where Scott Brown's coming from with their match last night, Daz, because normally if a team's top of the league, if they lose two or three games, they would normally lose those games to their direct rivals. Look at Manchester City down south. You know, the games they've lost recently, Man United, who are second in the league, and Liverpool, who are third in the league. The second and third teams, Rangers and Aberdeen, haven't laid a glove on Celtic, hardly. You know, Celtic's three defeats are to Hibs, Hearts and Kilmarnock. So, you know, Scott Brown, he is having a dig at Rangers. Of course he's having a dig at Rangers. But, you know, when he talks about Hibernian being the second best team, look at the results. You know, there's two draws between them, Hibs beating Celtic at the weekend. They pushed them hard in the League Cup semi-final as well. So, yes, he's having a dig at Rangers, but you can see where he's coming from.
The thing about this is, Gordon, the league table never lies. That is a fact. So once the season finishes, whoever finishes second will be the second best team. That's undeniable. But if I can put you on the spot then, 24th of April, a couple of weeks left to go, Scott Brown says Hibs are the second best team in the league. Do you agree or not?
Yeah, very hard to argue against, Gordon, to be honest with you, especially after sitting watching the 45 minutes, first 45 minutes since the weekend. I thought Hibs were absolutely terrific. Tactically, the players have got Midley Park, they talk about McGinn, they talk about the players that, the special. For me, Dylan McGeoch is different class. He's top class, I must admit, and he should be up there for player of the year. I thought Hibs were good at what they'd done tactically, everything about them, the passing of the balls, everything at home. And you asked me a question, are they second best team in Scottish football? At this moment, I would say yeah.
I mean, Rangers are still 3 points ahead of them, so you can see why people would say, well, hold on a minute, the league is a fairly accurate representation of who is the best and who is not.
Yeah, but I think coming up from the Championship, I think with the budget they've had, I think Neil Lennon's done a terrific job. I like the style of football that they play, Gordon. They won at the weekend because they deserved to win. They were a better side. They're the only side that I have watched this season taking Celtic going head-to-head, and they were better. And I said at half-time on Super Scoreboard, Celtic were lucky to get in 1-0 down against Hibs. That shows you how good they are.
So Scott Brown says clinching the title against Rangers would be the sweetest victory he's had in the fixture. Celtic fans, do you agree? Would it be the sweetest? And if not, what was? And of course, Rangers fans, you can get in on the action as well. What's your sweetest victory in this fixture? 0141 951 1025 or send us a tweet at Clyde SSB. Alec is first on. Hi Alec.
Hi panel, how we doing?
Fine,
hi Alec.
I obviously looking forward to going along on Sunday. Just so happens to be that it's Rangers that obviously, you know, hopefully that we can do the damage. But I listened to the show last night, and I listened to the show last week. I've listened to the show all my life. But listened to it last week after the Celtic Rangers game, and the Rangers fans were getting multi-pelters. Everybody was getting it. I listened last night and obviously knew it's no the team, it's the manager. We're not that far behind Celtic now, you know what I mean? And obviously what I hear in this show, after several different pundits, is this is Rangers, you know, Rangers have got to make a statement. Whether it's been Hugh, Derek, or whoever, you know, how many Rangers are where they are. And they're there for a reason, you know what I mean? Celtic are where we are. And obviously, we're there for a reason, you know what I mean? And, you know, I've come on this show before and I've said it'll be whatever it chooses to be. I was on the show before the semi-final. I says that, you know, I'll show Rangers a bit of respect, I'll not say whatever. I put 4-5-0 on. every game, and I had 5-0 on again for the semi-final. I was one goal away from it. The only reason why I didn't get it was because for the last 35 minutes, Celtic treated it as a bounce game. And this is meant to be our fiercest rivals, you know what I mean?
Alec, here, I'll throw a question to you then. How different a far do you think Celtic are from Rangers? Miles, yeah?
I think, Gordon, I think it's miles.
What my point is simple for me. There's four games to go and Celtic are still not champions.
Right. So, but we're still going for back-to-back trebles.
Yeah.
Right. Now, seeing 10 years' time, is somebody going to say, when did Celtic win the league that year? It's going to be, that was the years that Celtic won back-to-back trebles. Nobody ever cares about the 4-5-0. See, sometimes if it's just got to be a 1-0 with an offside and it's not half the post, nobody cares. It's what's in the record books. And if we need to go to the last game to win the league and then we go to the Scottish Cup final and God willing, we beat Motherwell, we get back-to-back trebles. You know, we know we can play better. We can play a lot better. But obviously, we've had a lot of different things. It's, I can't make excuses, but listen, the bottom line, I know what you're saying, Gordon, but Celtic are still on track for a record-breaking back-to-back treble.
You're absolutely right, Alec, but the point, I know what Daz is saying. Daz is saying the points gap between Celtic and the rest has narrowed from what it was last season. I mean, last season, I think Celtic won at Tynecastle something like the 2nd of April. You know, the earliest Celtic can win it this year is, what, the 29th? So that's almost a month later. Have the rest, and I don't just mean Rangers, I mean Aberdeen and Hibs as well, Alec, have the rest got closer to Celtic, or have Celtic come back a wee bit to the pack this season?
I think Celtic have come back a wee bit to the pack. I think that, you know, for every game that I've watched Celtic, you know, you're maybe getting a performance one in every 4 or 5. Now, for whatever reason, I don't know. But obviously, it's still great that, you know, for the form that we've had, the injuries that we've had, that we're still in a position to get, like, I know I keep saying it, the back-to-back treble.
Okay, thank you to Alec in Parkhead. It's 01419511025 to join in on the phones. We're on Twitter at Clyde SSB, and Ben says, Hibs do play good football, but they're 4th in the league. The table doesn't lie, and we'll see after 38 games if they are.
Yeah, you can't argue with that. Can I just say, this is the magic of this split. It doesn't always work, but we've got 4 games left in this league season. One of the big things is who's going to get 2nd and 3rd place. And Aberdeen, Hibs and Rangers have all to play one another. So it's, you know, it's not as if one of them's got a couple of, don't be disrespectful, easy games against teams at the bottom of the league. They've all got to play one another, and the one that comes out on top will deserve to finish in 2nd place.
So a couple of things from Scott Brown then. He says clinching the title this weekend would be the sweetest victory over Rangers he's had, and he says that Hibs are the 2nd best team in the league. Collins and Pollock Shaws, what are your thoughts, Colin?
Hi there. It's just to say my favourite, it's got to be honest, it's Scotland Rangers doing 10 in a row. When Paul Lambert's goal went in to make it 2-0, I thought the roof was going to cave in Parkhead. I don't think it'll get better than that.
Remember that one, Roger?
Yeah, I think, now I'm trying to go back to the Celtic were playing at home to St Johnstone, is that right?
I think Colin's talking about when they played Rangers though, just before.
Oh, yeah, the 2-0 Burnley and Lambert scored the goals.
Yes, that's right. That's when we actually believed that we would do it. For me, personally, when the 2nd goal went in, it was absolutely bedlam.
I certainly remember the last day of that season, because I think Rangers were at Tannery, Celtic were at home to St Johnstone. Just by a quirk, Celtic seemed to kick off a minute or two earlier. I don't know why there was a delay at Tannery's. And Celtic were one up. Henrik Larsson had scored before Rangers even kicked off at Tannery's that day. Really, really odd the way that the whole thing worked.
So Colin, that if Celtic were to wrap up the title this weekend against Rangers, that still wouldn't compare to the game you're talking about, no?
I don't think so. Remember, Rangers had won it 9 in a row. This was to stop the historic 10, and that really was the big thing to stop it. I would imagine Rangers fans would be the same if they stopped Celtic doing 10 in a row with a big game like that, but it will be good. Don't get me wrong, it'll be great, fantastic, but I just don't think it'll be as good as that day. That day was something else. I'll remember that forever.
Does it change at all, Gordon? But I think most people accept Celtic are going to win the league. You know, so whether it's this weekend or whether it's not, it could have been last weekend. Does that change anything, or is it still as?
No, of course it Gordon, if you've been brought up and you signed for Rangers, you signed for Celtic, you've been brought up as a supporter, you've been very lucky to play with the two big clubs, you want to win the league against. And Scott Brown's 100% right. It'll be a fantastic day for him if they clinch the league on Sunday against Rangers. And it would be vice versa for Rangers players as well. That's what it's all about. That's what we've been brought up with. Do I think they'll do it? Yes, I do. I think they're too good for Rangers. I think they've got beaten on them. But, you know, Scott Brown will probably enjoy the weekend that's coming ahead of him.
From Rangers' perspective, Roger, I know Alec, the previous caller, took a bit of offence at the notion about Rangers trying to send out a statement. So this is not a judgement on how big the gap is. If Rangers were to win, and in the process... So a couple of things happen there. You've got a first victory over Celtic in what would be 11 games. You then stop them winning the league. I appreciate these are all huge ifs, but that would be a statement of sorts, wouldn't it? That's not to say Rangers are going to go on and win the league next season, but it's at least something to hang on to that's been missing for Rangers in this fixture.
Yeah, possibly. I think the more important thing, Rangers are now at a stage where they're with players on that football pitch at Celtic Park on Sunday, Gordon, who are playing for their Rangers' futures. I think we're all agreed... The 4-0 game at Hampden made sure Graham Murty doesn't really have a long-term future as Rangers manager. But if these players, the Rangers players, are subjected to another heavy defeat by Celtic, whoever it is who comes in and takes over from Graham Murty will look at those games and will probably make the judgment that these guys actually aren't up to it. So individually and collectively, there's a lot on the line for this Rangers team on Sunday, because... if they take another beating in an Old Firm game, they might not get the chance again in another Old Firm game next season.
Keep the calls coming. We're at Clyde SSB on Twitter as well. A couple of tweets coming in. Paul McGinley says, Celtic are closer to the pack for one reason, because last season was a freak. You'll never see it again. They were phenomenal. And John Clark says, this is the worst Rangers team in history. Rodgers is a world-class manager, yet when you take the three Old Firm games out, Celtic have only taken four more points than Rangers against the other side. I hope you followed that. We're going to hear from Lee McCulloch. He's got some suggestions on who Rangers should look to replace Graham Murty. That's coming up after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Gordon Dalziel and Roger Hannah here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's show. If you want to give us a call, please do. You can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB. 01419511025 is the number you need. Got a couple of calls lined up, but let's hear firstly from former Rangers captain Lee McCulloch. He says Stevie Clark or Alex Neil would be the best options to step into the Rangers hot seat next season, as he believes it won't be Graham Murty that's in charge. McCulloch stressing the importance of a second place finish for his former team, and says to have any success in Sunday's game, they must stop Scott Brown.
The way Rangers pressed the ball wasn't aggressive enough, so we'll see if there's any change to that, but I think he'll be trying to flood the middle of the pitch, and they need to stop Scott Brown playing. He's been fantastic all of this season and all the Old Firm games, so I think they'll need to put somebody on Scott to curtail him slightly. It's been a disappointing season if you're a Rangers player. If you're judged on success, and there's been no success this season, there's been no trophies, there's been 10 games since an Old Firm victory. The league's been over since the split, really, up here. So it's so important to clinch second place for season tickets for next year, and for a little bit of hope for the fans, and they also get a little bit of an extra break, the players that are going to be here for next season. So it'll set us up going into a good season for next season. I think Graham's done really well. He's been promoted from the under-20s. He's come in, he's made a difference. The gap seemed to be getting a little bit closer for everybody in Scotland. The Old Firm game before last, the Rangers fans were coming expecting to win and not just hoping to win. But I think that last semi-final there is proven that there is still a gap. For the managerial vacancy, I don't think Graham will be the manager next year. You've got the likes of Alec Neil, Steve Clark, guys that know what the club is all about and the Old Firm teams are all about and the league is all about. So for me, they would be my two candidates.
That was Lee McCulloch speaking to Sky Sports News a bit earlier on today. Roger Hannah, what did you make of that?
Well, listen, it's interesting. He's thrown a couple of names there. Could Rangers get Steve Clark or Alec Neil at the minute? Now, Rangers fans will probably try and phone in and say, Of course they can get the manager of Kilmarnock. Of course they can get the manager of Preston North End. But do Steve Clark and Alec Neil want to come at the minute and work at Rangers? Do they want to come and work in a structure that involves the director of football picking the players, bringing the players in, effectively just makes them head coaches, if you like? Do they want to come in and work with this board, you know, with the chairman's in South Africa? It'll be fascinating to see. You know, you said before Lee's interview there, Lee McCulloch says they'd be the best men for the job. They'd be decent managers, but in the current structure, I don't think that suits either Steve Clark or Alec Neil, because they've forged reputations on being their own men, picking their own players, working with those players and building them into a team.
So Roger, in your opinion, who does it suit then? If you're saying that Steve Clark and Alec Neil,
I'm not convinced the structure suits any of the people who have been touted for this job. I think when Rangers go and look to appoint a manager, I fear that Mark Allen and the way Mark Allen has been asked to operate, I'm not blaming Mark Allen, this is what Rangers board have asked him to do. Mm-hmm. I think that could be a stumbling block for several managers. I'll give you an example. Don't know whether he's in the frame or not, your pal Billy Davis. Would Billy Davis want to come into a club where someone else is picking his players?
No, he wouldn't.
There you are.
No, but that's just, you talk about, I listened to Lee there and I've got a lot of time for Lee McCullough. I think he's a terrific lad. Steve Clark, Alec Neil, not for me. I don't see where that takes you. No disrespect to these two guys. Steve Clark's done a terrific job with Kilmarnock, but it's all right looking at someone that, if you look at his track record, and people say, well, he was working under coaches of the standard that he worked under, and his management, his first year seems to be the best, and then after that he seems to get sacked. Now I want to see Steve Clark next season with Kilmarnock. Alec Neil, same. Depends where Rangers want to go. Depends finances. Depends in what leadership you want. Roger touched on it there. If you're going to walk into Rangers Football Club and you're a top manager, you want to pick the players, you want to pick the team, and you want to be judged on your own performance and results. That's the only way it can happen.
You know, it's interesting, there's been stories in the papers this week that Rangers are negotiating a pre-contract to bring in Scott Arfield from Burnley. Scott Arfield's a recent enough player, no problem with Scott Arfield. What happens if the next manager doesn't fancy Scott Arfield? Who's bringing these players in? Will Scott Arfield be the last? Does the director of football then bring in three or four more after Scott Arfield, but before a new manager's appointed? The whole thing just seems odd to me, Gordon.
Roger, the biggest problem for Rangers right now, and if you go back to the last five managers, right, they've got a massive problem. They've got to pick the right manager. No disrespect. You've got Stuart McCall. You had Ali before that, McCoy's, because Walter put him in there. You had Stuart McCall, you had Kishinya, you had Warburton. You've had now Murty, an under-20 coach, put in there. So, all of a sudden, Rangers have got a massive problem. They have got to get this next appointment right. And it doesn't matter if Mark Allen has to be put to the side. A strong manager has to come in and lead this club forward. Because if it doesn't, I'll be the same week in, week out, and what we're talking about now.
0141 951 1025 to get in touch. I like to try and be fair. Who's been hanging on the longest? John is in Cumbernauld. Hi, John.
Hiya.
What's your point tonight, John?
Well, just first of all, what Roger was saying there, I couldn't have said it any better myself. Why would these two managers really want to come to Rangers at the moment? I mean, a lot of uncertainty, and they're doing well where they are. So, I mean, what really is the bonus? I know it's a big club, but why would potentially ruin what they've done so far and coming to Rangers? He said it on the head there. No, I was just going to say, we've got four games left, and to be honest with you, I don't think a second place is going to happen. We've got Hibs are better at Ibrox. Kilmarnock's beat us twice already. They're going to play us there again. I'm lucky if we're even third or fourth coming up.
I suppose on the flip side, John, and listen, you obviously know perhaps more about it than me, but look at the record against Aberdeen then. You could say that Rangers have beaten Aberdeen well this season, and therefore you pick up those points. So is it not worth addressing the positive side of things as well?
That's why I didn't mention them. We beat them twice. They can be good one game, terrible the next game. So it's just depending on how they are on the day. They seem to bottle it sometimes when it gets to getting the points, the 3 points that they need. And then something happens, they get beat. So they're the only team that I would actually look at and think we'll possibly get a few, get the 3 points off the end, but it's in Hibs. Do you know what? Hibs possibly could go and finish second, which puts us into third, possibly fourth. And then you need to depend on what's the outcome of the cup final. Do you want Celtic to win to get the treble, the double? Treble, or do you want Motherwell to win so that you can get a place? And you need Celtic to win to get the place in Europe, or do you want Motherwell to win and you don't get a place in Europe if you ended up fourth?
There's the question, Roger.
Well, maybe the Rangers fans will just turn over and watch the royal wedding that day, because they won't.
I noticed the coverage finishes at 3 o'clock, which is right in time for kickoff. So you've got no worries.
Yeah, it would be a difficult dilemma. If Rangers finish second or third and qualify for Europe, though, Gordon, all that really does is concentrate the point I made a minute ago about getting a manager in, bringing new players in that that manager's happy with, because before you know it, Rangers could be in European qualifications and they can't afford another progress neither, Con. It was embarrassing to the club's reputation, but worse than that, it caused Rangers problems in terms of, you know, a lack of finance. Rangers had ambitions to go forward, go further, get into the Europa League groups if they could. They knew there's additional revenue streams there. So having missed it last season, it's imperative that Rangers try and make more progress in Europe. And to do that, they need to get a manager and give the manager scope to build a team quickly.
I'm not saying John speaks on behalf of all Rangers fans, Gordon, but I am getting the impression that Rangers fans see Hibs as a bigger rival for second than they do Aberdeen, despite being level in points with Aberdeen and both sides being 3 points ahead of Hibs.
Yeah, well, you can only take watching the teams, Gordon. I thought Hibs were fantastic at the weekend. I thought they played really, really well. I think Neil Lennon's done a terrific job there. I know Rangers go there last game of the season, which is going to be difficult. I watched Aberdeen against Motherwell, and Motherwell played the way Motherwell play and deserved to be in the Scottish Cup final. They were a better team on the day. I just think Aberdeen are in a little bit of a slope, and I think Hibs are more.
But then they come back and beat the country's informed team in Kilmarnock at the weekend.
But
something the Rangers and Celtic haven't managed
but
to do.
You're talking about Kilmarnock was never going to go from there to the end of the season without losing a game. Right, it was never going to happen. And they've punched above their weight. And well done to Steve Clark, well done to Kamara, well done to all their players. I think they've been terrific. But they're going to have a sort of a slide somewhere along the line. It happened to be Aberdeen. Now, if you look at Aberdeen's season, I don't think it's been the greatest. I watched them against Motherwell. I thought they were shocking. So I think if you look at it, everybody can second guess. I think Hibs, without a shadow, are the second best team just now in Scottish football.
Why are they fourth then? I'm struggling here.
Well, there's still a bit to go. And plus the fact, what you've got as well, Gordon, is why the fourth? Well, at the end of the day, you've still got to go at the end of the season. They've come up for the championship. They've not got the greatest budget in the world, but they're a good, entertaining team.
If you're telling me, would I rather
go and watch Hibs at Easter Road or watch Rangers playing Hearts at the weekend, I'm going to Edinburgh.
Yeah, but what's that got to do with anything?
Because
that wasn't
I think Hibs are a better football team.
But that wasn't the question.
But I think Hibs are a better football team. So, you've asked me a question.
So you're asking who's better or who would you rather watch? Because those are two entirely different things.
Well, I think Hibs,
if Hibs are the second best team. If Hibs are the second best team, why are they fourth? That's all I'm asking.
But you've got to be the second best team after 38 games, not after 34.
So there you go.
He's predicting that after the 38, when all said and done.
So at the moment they're the fourth best though, but they will be the second best.
In my opinion, yes.
Got you. 0141 951 1025. Andy's in London. Hi, Andy.
Oh, hello. Is it Roger and Gordon?
Hi, Andy.
And yourself, Gordon. Gordon's opinion. Gordon, see Scott Brown, right? I go and watch Luton Town, right? And see Luton Town, they're a fantastic team, right? Like they play right good football. See Scott Brown, he wouldn't get into Luton's side out. He wouldn't get into your side, honestly. He wouldn't get into your side.
Sorry, it's
and as I said,
Luton, Scott
Brown. Arsenal, there's no chance Arsenal will take that man on.
Right, let's do them one at a time. So Scott Brown wouldn't get a game for Luton?
No, he wouldn't. Town are one of the most, honestly, I go and watch them right at home games. They're brilliant. Scott Brown, when you get to your side, no chance.
I've not seen Luton Town, so I can't argue with Andy in that one, but who's the fantastic midfield players that play with Luton Town?
These guys are, honestly, it's pathetic.
Who should we be looking out for, Andy? Give us some names. Who are the Luton Town midfielders that would keep Scott Brown out of the team?
I'm not giving you any names.
All right, okay.
I'm just saying, Scott Brown, Rooney again. See, here you go. Give us some names. No, I'm not giving you any names. I'll tell you what. See, Scott Brown, he would never get into a Luton side.
Andy, I think you're telling fibs. I don't think you go and watch Luton Town.
He is from London. Andy's from London.
No, I don't think you want. Give us a name. Give us a midfield player that plays with Luton Town.
You two should know. The anchor man in the Luton midfield, Alan McCormack, used to play at your team Motherwell.
So he did.
Irish lad.
Yeah, it wasn't a trick question, Andy. I just wanted to know which Luton players would keep him out of the team. It's not a trick question.
Scottish media, he's never seen good football.
You're right. We don't see much of Luton. That we can agree on, at least, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair. We don't see much of Luton.
So. Although, listen, we've got Irish teams and Northern Irish teams and Welsh teams in this Iron Brew Cup. Maybe they could throw in Luton next year and we'll get a look at them.
I don't think Andy sees much of Luton.
Scott Brown, I saw the pictures. He was rather uncomfortably juggling three pieces of glassware after Celtic's in-house Player of the Year event on Sunday night. I think Scott Brown may well end up as Scotland's Footballer of the Year this year, for the simple reason that he seems to drive Celtic on in the big domestic games. He got flustered a little bit with Dylan McGeoch and John McGinn around him on Saturday, but
said he wasn't feeling well, caught a bug off the kids.
I actually said that on air. I watched Scott Brown for the last 20 minutes of the game, and to be fair to him, he was looking like he just wanted to be sick all the time, Gordon. And I actually shouted through. I kept watching him, and he was struggling for the last 20 minutes.
People noticed it because it's so unusual for it to happen. One of the few times he was flustered early in the season was when young Harry Cochrane was going round about him at the Tynecastle, and that too was a surprise. But, you know, the much vaunted Aberdeen midfield, Shinnie and McLean, can't lay a glove on them when they play Celtic. The Rangers midfield, whoever has been in it, be it Halliday and Holt, be it Dorans and Doherty, be it whoever you like, Gordon, has not been able to lay a glove on him so far. Might change on Sunday, you never know. But so far this season, in the big domestic games, Scott Brown has been the key figure, with Olivier and Cham at his side in the recent games. That has to be said too. I suspect Scott Brown, having won the in-house awards on Sunday, might well finish the season with a couple of outhouse awards as well, be that from the football writers or be that from his fellow professionals.
0141 951 1025. We're going to take more of your calls after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly.
Roger Hanna and Gordon DL here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's show. As usual, Roger, Twitter comes up with the goods. I've been sent the full Luton Town squad list, so we can compare. And a familiar name in there, Andrew Shinnie. So there we go. If you have just joined us, this goes back to the previous caller, adamant that Scott Brown wouldn't get a game for Luton Town.
Well, so they're only second behind Accrington Stanley. How good must they be?
Very, very good indeed. If you've got any thoughts on Luton Town midfielders or anything else for that matter, give us a call. 0141 951 1025. Jordan is in Saltcoats. Hi, Jordan.
Hi, how's it going, panel?
Not bad, thanks.
Hi, Jordan. I heard you earlier asking to phone in about your favourite Old Firm games. So I thought I'd pitch in with my wee Old Firm game.
Go for it.
It was about 10 years ago now, 2008. I think I was about 14, 15. And it was a game Nakamura scored the swerving kind of half volley against Alan McGregor.
I remember that one, Roger.
It was amazing.
You remember that one?
Yeah, a midweek game, wasn't it? A pass inside from Gary Caldwell. Nakamura stepped forward 35 yards out.
It was unbelievable. The place went mental. It was my very first Old Firm game. Can I think I always remember it?
Chingy, but what was it, the quality of the goal? What made it so special, Jordan? What makes you think that, for instance, this weekend wouldn't be sweeter?
It was just hearing the place erupting, basically. It was just because it was my first experience. I think, to touch on your point about this weekend, I think that because of Celtic's recent success, I think that's some 10 games now. I think the fans are, they're not taking it for granted, but they're kind of getting used to it.
There's a thing, Roger, I suppose, when you, I mean, listen, it depends who you are, personality comes into it, but sometimes I suppose if you're really up against it and then you get a victory, that's when it seems the sweetest. Whereas Jordan's probably right, I can't imagine any Celtic fans going to the game expecting anything other than a win at the weekend.
Yeah, and listen, it'll be interesting because Aberdeen play Hearts at Pittodrie on Friday night. I think if Aberdeen win the game, it cuts the gap on Celtic to 7 points, and Celtic would actually then need to beat Rangers to win. A draw wouldn't be enough for Celtic, so there's that added little thing as well. You know, people forget Aberdeen and with the way the results went at the weekend, with them winning at Rugby Park, with Celtic losing at Easter Road, they're still involved in this as well. I'm not saying they're involved in a title fight, but they're involved in, you know, delaying Celtic picking up the title. So it will be a big game. I tend to agree with Daz. I think Celtic will win the game. Form would dictate that Celtic will win the, you know, they seem to raise their game, especially to take on Rangers this season. 10 games, a record 10 games unbeaten against Rangers. You would fancy them to extend it to 11, but that's the beauty of football, you just never know.
Jordan Rogers right on the money there, in the sense that every time Celtic have, you know, for instance, they really managed to pick the moments this season domestically when it comes to games that they sort of have to raise their game and get the job done, they quite simply do it. Are you confident that that's the case again, or is there even the slightest bit that you look at the Hibs game at the weekend and some of the other results and think that maybe that sort of up and down nature is not going to carry on?
I think that Celtic, especially with Scott Brown leading the team, I don't think he will allow anything other than a win to happen at the weekend. I think there's just far too much on offer. Away to Hibs, you want to win, you want to get the title wrapped up as quickly as possible, but I just think that opportunity to do it against Rangers is just too much of a carrot for the team to thumb down. As Roger says, anything can happen, but can you see anything other than a Celtic win at the weekend?
It's hard to argue there, Gordon, isn't it? Because like I said, every time, you know, Celtic have just picked their moments this season. Every time, you know, even if you remember going up to Pittodrie and dealing with those games so comfortably, every time they've played Rangers Cup games and so on, they just seem to pick their moments this season.
Yeah, without even taking into consideration that they can clinch a title against Rangers on Sunday, you'd expect Celtic to go and win it. They've got better players, they've shown in the past, even a couple of weeks ago they put the marker down there, Rangers were all over the place. Yes, they bounced back with a good result against Hearts at Ibrox, fine, but I just think that the Celtic players, they'll have an extra yard in their step. Gordon, you want to win the title, and no better than to win it against Rangers, let's be honest about it. And I just think they've got too much ability, and I expect them to win that title on Sunday.
Thank you to Jordan and Saul Coates. Now, here, this is a shout for Ryan McConville on Twitter. Roger, he is the man we need to get in touch on the phones, because he, by all accounts, according to the big flag that he sent me a picture of, is a member of the Celtic Supporters Club Luton branch.
Well,
so he knows.
Get Ryan on the phone. He will tell us whether we expect the Hatters to make a big money summer swoop for Scott Brown. Now they're going into League One.
You know what makes sense, Ryan. 0141 951 1025. Stuart's a Rangers fan in Paisley. Hi, Stuart.
Hi, Gordon. Good evening. Thanks for taking the call.
Not a problem.
Gordon, I would like to talk to the panel. Really, my point, a couple of points. The first point, really, is regarding the last few callers, the Celtic fan that phoned up, really, and obviously very blasé. What I would say to a lot of Celtic fans that I hear regularly, I'm a Rangers fan, I don't mind admitting that. Go to all the games, been there for 30 odd years, but what I will say is I've got two words to say about that, and that's Fergus McCann. I just feel they're very, very forgetful about the fact that they themselves were in a very similar position to ourselves, and if it hadn't been for Fergus McCann, who knows what could have happened. And I just feel really the sheer arrogance that Celtic fans seem to have about, okay, listen, nobody's denying that Celtic are a far better team than Rangers. I can admit that myself, they're far superior. But I just really want to get a flavour of what the panel think as regards to where Rangers go from here, because there is no doubt in my mind that this is not the Rangers team that I grew up supporting. It's not great at all. I really want to know what the panel think and where we really go from here. I mean, investment to me is the only way forward. But I just really think Celtic are a wee bit forgetful. When you look at their European record in the last few years, it's abysmal, absolutely abysmal. So really, are they really that far in front of Rangers? I just want to know what the panel thinks on that.
Well, I think first and foremost, Gordon, is it's there for everybody to see the banners that were put up on Sunday at Ibrox. We deserve better. The Rangers fans, they've been absolutely terrific through all the years supporting our club, turning up in big numbers. But they seem to have enough. I think that they've got to start, and they've got to start in the right way. And that, for me, is get the right manager on board and let them control the running of the football club and try and take Rangers forward. If they don't do that, then they've absolutely no chance.
On the other hand, Roger, and just to try and balance things up here, because Gordon may well be right, I don't know, but why would Rangers be willing to scrap the director of football structure so soon? Because let's remember, Rangers have been at a few crossroads recently, and the last time we were at one of these crossroads, the solution was, right, let's sort the structure out, let's get a director of football in, let's start running things in a certain way. You're going to bin that already?
Well, listen, I've no problem. I don't know Mark Allen personally. No, I've no truck with Mark Allen at all, Gordon. But my worry, if I was a Rangers fan, would be that the presence of Mark Allen and the way he has been asked to operate could be an impediment to landing a top class manager. Now, Mark Allen has brought players in January with the best will in the world. They haven't exactly hit the ground running. Mark Allen seems to be trying to bring Scott Arfield to the club. He's maybe working on other deals to bring other players to the club. How do any of us know that the next manager wants these players? He might not like any of these players. Now, as has been shown with the appointment of Brendan Rodgers at Celtic, the most important role at the football club is the manager. Now, there are people work behind the scenes at Lennox Town with Brendan Rodgers. Lee Congerton goes and watches players, but he goes and watches the players that Brendan Rodgers wants him to watch. There'll be other players he'll see, he'll recommend to Brendan Rodgers, but Brendan Rodgers will have the final say as to whether those players come in or do not come in. No top class manager will work in a situation where he is being having players bought for him and is being asked to somehow work them into a system. That's not how the big clubs operate in the UK, I'm afraid.
I was going to say, is it a UK thing? Because the whole idea of a director of football, Roger, is in many ways, it's for circumstances like this. It's supposed to maintain continuity so that when a new manager comes in, you don't need to rip everything up and start again. That's the whole point of it.
There is no continuity at Rangers. Murty, Kashina, Warburton, everyone that came before, there is no continuity at Rangers. What Rangers need is, and Stuart's right, investment. I'm afraid money is what makes the world go round. Money is what makes football go round. That is the main reason why Manchester City won the English Premier League. Yes, Pep Guardiola is a great manager, but it helps when you can throw, you know, £500 million at it. So Rangers need to invest, but they also need to get the structure correct. They need to have a chairman who's not in South Africa, directors who aren't in the United States. They need people there on the ground running the football club on a day-to-day basis, and they need to get a top-class manager.
Final word to you, Stuart.
Well, listen, I couldn't disagree with anything they've said there. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't know, investment to me is the only way forward. And I think really looking at the team years and years gone by, I mean, that game on Sunday, I mean, if these players had to go in and face Walter Smith, for example, in the second half, it would be a different second half. I mean, there was no fight, there was no pride, there was no nothing. And that's obviously why the fans are so frustrated now. But I think the only way to go forward is, as the panel says, really is to get investment and to get someone on the ground who knows Scottish football and can get this club back to where it needs to be. Because at the end of the day, Celtic fans have told me that it was such an embarrassment on Sunday that they don't even enjoy it now, because there's no challenge there. I think really we need to get back to where we should be.
Beat the pundits with goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Big thank you to Stuart in Paisley. I'm not sure every Celtic fan that calls in is going to agree with your last sentiment, but there we are. It's almost time for Beat the Pundit. Roger and Gordon are both standing by. 30 seconds head to head, as many questions right as you can. If you think tonight is your night, if you want to take the guys on, give us a call right now. 0141 951 1025 and you could be playing Beat the Pundit after the news.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.
Roger Hanna and Gordon Dalziel here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's show. Keep the calls coming, whether it's about Celtic Rangers this weekend's game. I'm sure we'll fit in plenty more of that. I want to get your thoughts on co-managers. Not too many in Scotland. Ross County are trying to stay in the top flight and they've appointed co-managers. I wonder if we think that'll work or not. We're going to get the thoughts on that after we play this.
Beat the Pundit with Goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
And by the way, a call has just flashed up on my screen. This is the call you've all been waiting on if you've been listening to the show tonight. Ryan is on the line. He's a Celtic slash Luton fan and he's from Luton. So he's going to tell us, he's going to give us the definitive answer on the would Scott Brown get in the Luton team debate that somehow came up earlier on in the programme.
Oh, you're going to have to abandon Beat the Pundit and go straight to Ryan.
No chance, it'll be worth the wait. Scott is up on Beat the Pundit. Scott from Denny. Hi, Scott.
Hi, how you doing?
Not too bad, how are you?
Hi, not too bad, aye.
Do you fancy your chances? Roger Hanna was just telling us at the break there that he's not lost all season.
No. You were telling me.
Oh, sorry, but Gordon Dalziel asked and I answered. But nevertheless, so if it does fall on heads, you're going to be up against it, Scott. You fancy it?
Aye.
Just take on anyone. Fine, might as well.
No, he's desperate that he gets me.
No chance. The coin's going anyway. So heads, it's Roger. Tails, it's Gordon. 2 pence tonight. Splashing the cash. And it is actually heads. So it's Roger Hanna up against Scott. Let's give
Scott, good luck.
Roger some Clyde 2 so that he can't steal your answers. And we'll get up and running. Scott, it is 30 seconds head to head. You can pass. Here is your chance to beat the Pundit, Scott. All right?
Right.
Right, let's get this clock up and running. Your time starts now. Who were the last team to win the old Scottish First Division, which ended in 2013?
In Inverness.
Name any team Motherwell have faced in the Europa League since 2010.
Europa League, Maribor.
Stephen Ferguson and Stuart Kettlewell have been appointed co-managers of which team?
Ross County.
Which Scottish international plays for Wolves?
Barry Douglas.
Which two numbers appear on Schalke's badge?
04.
How many times have Ayr United made it to the Scottish Cup semi-final?
Twice.
Alright, let's bring Roger Hanna back. Roger, are you with us?
Yeah, oh, Clyde 2 again, different class.
Loving it, yeah, can't beat it. Right, same set of questions to you. Roger, are you ready?
Go for it.
Who were the last team to win the old Scottish First Division, which ended in 2013?
Dundee.
Name one team Motherwell have faced in the Europa League since 2010.
Allison's.
Stephen Ferguson and Stuart Kettlewell have been appointed co-managers of which team? Which Scottish international plays for Wolves?
Barry Douglas.
Which two numbers appear on Schalke's badge?
04.
And how many times have Ayr United made it to the Scottish Cup semi-finals?
Oh, twice.
Okay. Right, how are you feeling about that, Scott?
Not too good.
Well, all I'm going to say is I think it's the lowest score that Rogers had in months. I'm not saying it's enough for you to win, but it's the lowest score Rogers had in months. I'm sure of it, right?
I believe Gordon Duncan, Scott. I don't think he gets through the questions quickly enough. What do you think?
Some of the questions were a bit longer tonight. Anyway, right, who were the last team to win the old Scottish First Division, Gordon?
Raith Rovers.
No, it was Partick Thistle.
Oh, no.
2013.
Not, I'd have been here all night.
So none of you got that right, so it's 0-0 to kick us off. On to the second one. I mean, Gordon would have been able to rhyme all of these off, but Roger, it was you that was up against it. Name one team Motherwell have faced in the Europa League since 2010. You said Ålesund of Norway. That was correct. You had a few others: Odense, Levante, Stjarnan, etc, etc. So Roger got that one right, which means 1-0 to Roger after two questions. Stephen Ferguson and Stuart Kettlewell have been appointed co-managers of Ross County. You both got that right, which means it's 2-1 to Roger. It then went 3-2 because you both got Barry Douglas, who plays for Wolves. It then went 4-3 because you both got 0-4 on Schalke's badge, which means it all comes down to the last question. How many times have Ayr United made it to the Scottish Cup semi-finals? You both said 2. The answer is 3, and that means Roger Hanna has pipped you, Scott. 4-3 to Roger Hanna.
I can't believe you never got that right. I took them.
Honestly, I'll never be able to show my face then again.
No, forget that. Anyway. I actually took them to the semi-final three times.
Forget you two. I'm going to say goodbye to Scott.
Twice.
No.
Twice. Scott's got for semi-final.
Yes, 99, 2000 and 2000, 2001.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
But they were there in the 70s as well, and you weren't.
No.
Anyway, enough.
Alec Kingdom, 4-3
Gordon DL. Scott, good effort. Thank you very much. That was close. Thanks, Roger. Scott. You'll agree with that. It's the closest you've been pushed all season, I think.
Oh, it's very tight.
4-3.
Very tight.
There you are. If you get the confidence up, you fancy knocking Roger Hannah off his perch between now and the end of the season. Tuesday nights is the night to do it. Right. If you've just joined us, we had a call earlier on. I have no idea why or how it came about, but it was a Rangers fan in London who watches Luton Town every weekend. He was adamant that Scott Brown wouldn't get a game for Luton. Now, I don't know. The magic of this programme, we now have Ryan on the line, who is not only a Celtic fan, but he's a Luton fan as well, and he's from Luton. So, to be honest, Ryan, whatever you say goes.
How's it going?
You're the deciding voice on this one.
How you doing? You right?
Good, thanks. You?
Yeah, not too bad. Listen, I think Scott Brown's got more. He'd have no interest in coming down to Luton anyway, whether we wanted to play with him or not. The best thing that's come out of Luton is John Artson, really. But, yeah, I travel 6 hours just to watch Scott Brown. I think that tells you what Scott Brown's all about. But, yeah, I think that lad was on a bit of a wind-up, to be honest.
I think maybe, to be fair, Roger Hanna. But Ryan, what have you made of him this season then on a serious note? We are not too far away from finding out the nominees for the Player of the Year and all the rest of it. Would you expect Scott Brown to be amongst that?
Oh, fantastic. He's been the catalyst of everything this season. Everything's come from him. If you haven't got Scott Brown in your team, you're not going to get a decent performance out of Celtic. So, yeah, he deserves everything he gets this season.
There we are, Gordon. Ryan telling us that Scott Brown probably wouldn't be tempted with a move to Luton. Who knew?
No, and I don't think Luton are really interested in signing Scott Brown. I think they're doing very, very well. I don't know if he would get in the Luton team, if I'm going to be honest with you. And obviously their manager, Nathan Jones, been gone so long.
So he is absolutely shameless. Let me tell you that Gordon DL just turned to Roger Hanna during the break and said, "Who's the Luton manager?" Roger told him. No. Now he's passing it off as his own.
No, not at all. But no, Ryan's right. Scott Brown's had a terrific season, and he can cap it all off on Sunday against Rangers. A massive game, looking forward to. I think it'll be so exciting, and go and lift the title. And he will certainly be up there for Player of the Year, whether he wins it or not. I don't know, but he certainly deserves to be nominated, if truth be told. And if he ever gives up football, then he can go down to Luton and have a part-time job.
How often are you up, Ryan? Do you make it for every game, all the way from
there? Yeah, season to get hold of, so either fly, train, or drive up. I'm driving up this Sunday. But, yeah, it's quite funny, really, that Rangers-Luton fan. It's quite funny to support both teams, because they've both been in administration and had relegation problems, but hey-ho.
There we are. Ryan's drawing a link there. Who knew Luton would come up so often in the programme tonight? That's all I'm going to say. Yeah, Roger Hanna.
That's the wonder. Never of fails to amaze me. You flick it on at 6 o'clock and you've absolutely no idea what's going to come between 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock. That's the beauty of it, Gordon.
Usually it's Gordon DL I have to worry about, to be fair. But that was good, Ryan. That was.
Did you ever play at Kenilworth Road, Daz?
No, they were not in their league. I played, obviously, my first game, Stamford Bridge and all that, so it didn't. We bypassed Luton.
Very good. 01419511025. I want to talk a little bit about co-managers. Now, I appreciate this is probably going to be a more of a general conversation. Ross County today announcing that Stephen Ferguson and Stuart Kettlewell have been appointed co-managers of the club on a permanent basis. They're also going to take responsibility of all footballing affairs, really. If you remember, they've been in charge together since Owen Coyle left the club. What do we make of that? Is that
cheap option?
Yeah.
Yeah. End of story.
What, the two boys or the co-manager thing?
The two boys. Cheap option. They're there at the club. I like Stephen Ferrer. He's a terrific boy. I was at Ayr when he was down there. Great lad. But you can't go from hiring someone like Owen Coyle, who's been in the English Premiership, won the championship, and then go and say, "Well, we're bottom of the league, we'll give these two guys a new contract.
Well, to be fair to the guys, you say hire someone like Owen Coyle, who took them to the bottom of the league, and these
but
two
that
guys
doesn't
may
mean
well
say
keep
the
them
next
up.
One's not going to be any better. So you've went from one extreme to the other, Gordon.
Yeah,
this
you,
is what you've got to look at. You've went one extreme to the other.
Okay.
Why?
Well, the first extreme,
because there's a cheap option,
or because the first extreme didn't work.
But you can say that about a million managers and a million people, like say Ronnie Dyle at Celtic, and then you go and get Brendan Rodgers.
Ronnie Dyle won two titles, it's a bit different.
Yeah, but everybody loves the fact that Brendan Rodgers is in charge of Celtic Football Club. I just think, and I'm not having a dig at these two boys, and I hope they do very, very well. I think Ross County have looked at the situation. I think they will be relegated. I could be wrong. And I think they've went for a cheap option. And I hope the two lads do terrifically well. I've nothing against them.
We just don't hear it too often, Roger. There was a few comments back and forward on Twitter trying to think of other well-known co-managerial duos.
Alex Smith and Jockey Scott back in the day at Aberdeen did reasonably well. Alex Smith, obviously, he's retiring after Falkirk's game against St Mirren at the weekend and won two Scottish Cups. And he was quite happy to work with Jockey Scott. I suppose a lot will depend on the two individuals, you know, how they think about the game, how they work together. I've nothing against the two lads, Kettlewell and Ferguson. A bit like the argument we had in the first hour of the show about second, third and fourth place. The proof of the pudding will be if they can keep Ross County up. I thought Roy McGregor was pretty quick in dispensing with the services of Jim McIntyre and Billy Dodds earlier in the season, given what they had achieved with Ross County, winning a League Cup, keeping them in the top flight season after season. He brought in Owen Coyle, who he knew, a former player at Ross County, and it didn't work. He's then gone down a different route. Stuart Kettlewell had success in the Development League title last season. Stephen Ferguson, as Daz says, a respected coach, academy director there, bringing through young players like Davis Keeler Dunn, Regan Tumulty, guys like that. So he feels they represent, you know, a strong future for Ross County. The future of Ross County is probably less important than the immediate future of the next four games.
What about the timing of it? Because of course, if the guys keep them up, then it's a masterstroke, and it might well be the confidence booster, the lift that
it takes.
It's
designed to give them a little
a lift.
Boost.
Because if they do get relegated, you're stuck there.
You know what football's like? No, they're not. You know what football's like? If Ross County are relegated and start next season in the Championship the way Inverness Carlow Thistle started this season in the Championship, then Stuart Kettlewell and Stephen Ferguson will very quickly find themselves back in the roles they've just left. There's no doubt about that. That is how football works.
We've not had too many up here, have we? I mean, you mentioned Alex Smith and Jockey Scott.
I don't think it works, Gordon.
How do you think? If you're trying to second guess.
Yeah, I was the leader. Uh-huh. I was the man that made the decisions. He was the guy that had the money in his pocket.
Is it absolutely inevitable? Is it inevitable that people, whether it be players, fans, media, whoever, is it inevitable that people will have a perception of who's really the boss?
Yeah, of course it is.
Can you get around that, do you think?
Well, I think you've only got one leader. And it's as simple, because that makes a decision. What happens if you're standing next to someone on a Saturday coming up in the next four so important games that could define the fact that you could be still in the Premier League, and you have a different opinion? Who makes the opinion? Who makes the change? Who gets the right of way? I think you've got to have...
Communication needs to be incredibly effective.
Gordon, I don't agree with anything you say, and I work with you. But at the end of the day, you've got the mic. Fine. I'm quite happy with that. But you've got to have a leader. You've got to have somebody that makes the decisions and then walks out to the press where Roger and all the lads are standing and answer for that decision. Who is that? I don't think co-managers work. I don't think it's the right way to go about their business. I think it's a cheap option. I wish the two boys all the best in the world. I think Ross County will be relegated.
My thing about it would be, Roger, as much as Gordon says he doesn't think co-managers work, I'm just not sure we've seen it enough to really know. But then there might be a reason for that as well.
Yeah, and you don't see it a lot around the world of football, not just in Scottish football. You tell me a big club who have ever done it, with the exception, say, of 25 years ago of Aberdeen when they tried it.
Liverpool did it,
Smith.
Didn't they?
Yeah,
Evans and Hooley.
And that didn't work particularly well and was very quickly dispensed with as well. Daz is right. I've almost sort of seen, simply because at the time it was announced, it was Kettlewell and Ferguson. So I've always sort of recognised Stuart Kettlewell maybe as a senior partner. And I've always thought Stephen Ferguson, who I think is 7 years older, is maybe just there just to have a wee voice of a little bit more experience in the game.
So we now need to be careful whose name we mention first. Is
right,
that
well, I think you're right. I think you're spot on, because I'm not happy that you always go Hannah and DL.
Do I?
Wilson and DL.
Do you know why that is?
Yeah, it should be DL, no, Wilson, DL.
Because they sit on my left and you sit on my right, and I go across as if I'm
But that's
reading.
Not right, because earlier on you said DL and Hannah.
Exactly, because sometimes I like to mix it up and Gordon's just paranoid. So I'm glad we've got that
sometimes
out in the open.
Sometimes it's Keevans and Johnson, sometimes it's Johnson and Keevans.
No, I'm not having that. I'll be listening back.
Murdo comes in on a Saturday and completely confuses you.
Oh, it's never Murdo first because he's in the middle. See, it's no offence to him, but just always going to go from one side to the other. Anyway, no one cares. 01419511025. John is a Rangers fan in Sutherland. Hi, John.
Hello there, lads.
Hi, John.
I'll get 2 points if you don't mind, gentlemen. But my first, obviously, Alec and his genius Rogers that he talks about, I'm just not getting it. Rogers came away the weekend saying they get beat with a better team. They get beat with a better manager. Wouldn't you agree? Or could you tell me how many Hibs players we get in that Celtic team? I think, despite being overwhelming favourites in every game this season, Rodgers has failed in 12 occasions, where he's failed miserably in Europe. Clark, Lennon and even Murty have schooled him in how you get a result against a better side. And Neil Lennon has certainly done it.
When did Murty school Brendan Rodgers? Sorry, John.
Well, when he was getting draws. Did Roger manage draws in Europe against superior sides?
John, I take up your point and what you're saying, but here's the argument. You're talking about a manager that's on the verge of winning back-to-back trebles. So how can you come on? You can have all the stats about the European campaign. Yes, they were poor in that. But you're talking about a manager that's in the verge of 90 minutes plus maybe extra time or whatever it may be of winning back-to-back trebles, and you're criticising him.
Well, let's see what he's had to play with. He tells us the boy Roberts, Man City, were wanting at least £32 million for.
That I don't remember more, that, John. Who said that?
Rogers.
Brendan Rogers said that Patrick Roberts was £32
million. Wouldn't accept less than £32 million.
Roger Hanna, do you remember
no,
that?
No, I've never heard that before.
Okay,
well,
carry on.
He did.
John, can you look out your back window and see if Scott Brown's playing with Luton?
John may not have been listening to the earlier call, so that's right over the head. Don't worry about him, John. He's talking rubbish. He's trying to put you off.
You're talking about what he's got to play with. You've got the boy Dembele. He got for £500,000 in a technicality. Somebody already wanted to pay £7 million for him. He's got another rental. What is it? He's worth £7 or 8 million, the French boy.
Oh, Masonda, you're talking about. Oh, Edward, sorry.
I think Celtic have fewer loan players than Rangers in their squad at the minute. So all the points John's making, I don't see how any of them can be used as criticism to beat Brendan Rodgers.
I'm not criticising. What I'm saying is, if you take a look at what he's got to play with, he hasn't got the better out of Steve Clark or Neil Lennon.
Yeah, well, he has, because they're top of the league, John. That would be the obvious.
I'm talking about game for game. I'm not talking about the league.
Brendan Rodgers has beat Neil Lennon twice this season. Maybe even more. Is it twice? Yeah, twice.
But how close have they been? There has been no way you can compare what Clark, Lennon have done against Rodgers' side to what Rodgers has failed to do in Europe. Now you can see he's going for a back-to-back treble. Who did he beat to win the League Cup?
Motherwell in the final. Rangers in the semi-final. Is that right?
No.
Oh no, sorry.
Tilly, Dundee, Hibs and Motherwell. I think the four of them were the bottom six or seven at the time.
It's four Premiership teams.
Players for players here, Roger.
I don't see a point there. He's been in four Premiership teams. He's not going to get to beat Manchester City and Bayern Munich in the League Cup. You can only play other Scottish teams. He's beaten four teams from the top flight. He's now 10 games unbeaten against Rangers. I just don't see the criticism. I actually think the European record this season is better than it's been, because they were in a group with Bayern Munich, who tomorrow night will play in the semi-final of the Champions League. PSG assembled at a squillion pounds. Anderlecht, who they qualified ahead of, and only lost out in the Europa League to a Zenit team who are paying £15 million for players.
Okay, thanks to John in Sutherland. It's almost time for the full-time teaser. You have sent in some good questions to us, and we try and get them on and catch the guys out. The question is coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Gordon DL and Roger Hanna here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's show. I just said your name first, Gordon DL, and you didn't even notice after moaning about it earlier.
I'm writing it down.
So 01419511025 is the number you need to get in touch. It's time for the full time teaser, though. If you've got any good questions that you'd like to send in, please do fulltime@clyde1.com. We always do it about this time, and we give the guys until the end of the show to try and come up with the answers. I make no apology. This one is tough. This is seriously tough. You know the score. If Roger Hanna knows his stuff, you've got to make the questions hard. Unlike last night when Derek and Hugh had an absolute meltdown. But this should be different.
Right, come on.
This is difficult. Sent in by John Smith. And there's a bit of thought going into it. That's what I like. So Lewis Morgan,
yeah,
scored his 20th goal in the Championship on Saturday. And of course he's leaving for Celtic, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Right, I'm just teed that up nicely. So since 98-99, 11 other players have scored 20 or more in the second tier and have played for either Celtic or Rangers. Now, this doesn't include players currently with either side of the Old Firm or goals scored for Rangers whilst they were in the Championship. It's a bit more cut and dry than that, if you like.
Okay.
So from 98-99 onwards, 11 players have scored 20 or more goals in Scotland's second tier and have played for either Celtic or Rangers. Doesn't include...
For argument's sake, last season they just come up with, if it was Martin Waghorn scored 20 goals, he's not...
No.
Right.
I just hope you don't come to me here. I have no idea.
I said it was tough.
The season Hibs came up, did Kenny Miller score more than 20?
No. I'm just looking at the names. These are tough. But listen, it has to be tough.
They have played... So not including Morgan... And then played for either Celtic or Rangers.
Yep.
Jason Cummings.
No.
Oh, we're struggling here.
I mean, if you think,
Jason Cummings didn't score 20 goals. Jason Cummings, I thought, was the first player to have scored.
I said this does not include players currently with the Old Firm.
Oh.
Or goal scored for Rangers whilst they were in the Championship. Well, I give you one to get you off and running.
No.
Give me the initials.
Anthony Stokes.
Nope.
I give us one there. No, he's struggling.
Give us it. We'll need to have a wee think about this. Come on. What we think for a minute. But teams who in the last 20 years have been in the second tier.
Uh-huh. Hearts. Must be a player for Hearts.
Right, for instance, just to get you up, I'm not telling you the name.
Nicky Clark.
Yes. See, once the wheels start to turn, Roger gets it. So Nicky Clark, of course, scored a barrel load for Dunfermline, and he has also played for Rangers.
It has specifically to be the Championship. It's not like League 1 or League 2 or anything like that. Just specifically
the second tier. So it was probably first division for a lot of these guys. The second tier. So Nicky Clark is one. This is going to really test you. And I know we've got great knowledge. The listeners have great knowledge on Twitter. So if you can think of any, please.
Anthony Stokes?
No.
You've just said him.
What are you bringing to the table then?
I said Jason.
Nicky Clark. I told him. Shout out Nicky Clark.
Oh. Right. We're off and running. We know what we're trying to do. That's fine.
Some of these are murder. Okay. Who's next up on the line? Jim. In fact, both of these guys are from Kilmarnock. I don't know if this was planned or not, but Jim is first up. Hi, Jim.
Hi guys, thanks for being on the show. I'm just phoning up, this is not what my point is, but I'm driving home from work and I heard, I think it was Gordon coming out with a ridiculous statement that Hibs are a far better team than Rangers and we'd rather go and watch Hibs. Gordon, we're 3 points in front of them
Yeah. We've got a 15 goal better difference than Hibs. How can you honestly judge? That's crazy. You're making a living at comments with us. That is crazy comment to come out with something like that. How can you justify that when I've given my 2 points? 15 goals we've scored better off than Hibs. We're better off 15 goals and we're 3 points ahead of them. And albeit we're still games to play, but we're still ahead of them. How can you justify a comment like that?
Quite simple for me. I'd rather go and watch Hibs.
Well, see, guys, what you say, we would rather go, ex-players like you would rather go to Hibs and watch Hibs. But that's
what's that got to do with anything about ex-players or whatever? I've got an opinion.
The comment. How can you justify
well,
that?
Well, I watched Hibs at the weekend. I thought they were terrific against Celtic.
One game.
I've not watched Rangers being terrific against Celtic. I watched Hibs going to Ibrox. I think they're a more exciting team to watch than Rangers. What's the point of that, Jim? Is that because I've got an opinion?
No, you're saying they're a better team than Rangers, but the league table's justifying they're not a better team than Rangers.
Yeah, I did ask you to draw a distinction there earlier on. If you're going to say that they are better, you're certainly going to have to wait till the end of the season. You would accept
that. Right, and I'll accept if Jim comes on and says, look, Rangers are finished above Hibs. For entertainment value, for the players that Hibs have got, I think they're better than what Rangers are just now, Gordon. That's only an opinion.
Is that clear it up slightly,
Jim? Aye, but I'll move on to my point.
Right, on you go.
Doesn't really, but I'll phone Gordon at the end of the season when we'll have this conversation near the end
of
the season.
I'll look forward to it.
You're on here about Rangers. I'll be the first to say we're not doing great now, right? But everybody's slating Rangers were in turmoil, this, that and this thing. I'm not saying we're going to win on Sunday, but if we do, and it's a big if, that gap gets down to 7 points, right? Rangers have had a manager, Pedro Coutinho, who should never have been in the job, and Graham Murray's an under-20s coach, who shouldn't have probably been in it either. That gap's 7 points, right? Is there that much turmoil with Rangers and there's that big a difference when we get done? If we can win on Sunday, that gap, we're not going to win the league, I'm not putting that across. That gap's only 7 points. Celtic's got to win every single game between now and the end of the season. I think it is to equal the record that Ronnie Dyler won the league with points, who gets that, who left. So is there that much of a gap? Is there a couple of wee tweaks that we need in our team, as in one being a good manager and two being a couple of good centre-halves? And then we're back challenging them, because I don't think there's that much of a difference. If we win on Sunday, the gap's 7 points. That's not as much turmoil as guys that use in the media and papers and social media are making out that we're in such turmoil.
Well, I'll take you back 9 days. At approximately 4:20, a week past on Sunday, did you think there was a big gap between Celtic and Rangers?
Yes, that's my point, Roger.
Yeah.
We've got the wrong manager. He went with the wrong team, the wrong tactics.
Yep.
If we, that's what I put, my point is. If we had a decent manager...
I agree with you. But if you go back to the previous manager, Pedro Caixinha, he lost 5-1. If you go back to the previous manager, Mark Warburton, he lost 5-1. So
again,
there are gaps there. So
that's what I'm saying, are
the Rangers board appointing the wrong people?
100%.
100%, yeah. Is there change needed in the boardroom? Is there change needed in the structure? When you've got a director of football bringing in the players? Is there investment needed in the club? I just think that I understand all the points. The points gap has closed, but in one-off games between Celtic and Rangers, and those are games that are important to Rangers fans and Celtic fans, in the one-off games, Rangers have hardly laid a glove on Celtic.
The 3-2 game at Ibrox, I reckon, Roger, when Celtic went down to 10 men, I think that game was won in the dugout with Celtic having a better manager than Brendan Rodgers.
100%.
Probably the same as well, as much as I'm not a big fan of Neil Lennon, but I rate him as a manager. When Hibs played as Ibrox again, that was a game that was won in the dugout. There was a manager that was a better equipped and more knowledgeable tactically than what we had in our dugout. And I think we're just a good manager away. They've been challenging them next season and a couple of players, as in centre-halves and maybe a keeper. I don't think we're in that much turmoil as what people are saying. I think we're just a couple of wee tweaks away for challenging them the full course of the season next year.
Jimmy, you've been serious?
Of course I am.
What, you think you're a centre-half and a good manager away from challenging Celtic?
No, Gordon, if you listen...
Come on, you come out with the big ifs. Everything you've said is if...
We're a couple of centre-halves. If we had two decent centre-halves and a decent manager, we would have been challenging them still for the end of the season for the league.
Seriously, you believe that?
Of course we do, 100%. Why would we know?
Two centre-backs and a decent manager.
If we win on Sunday, Gordon, the gap's 27 points.
Once again, you're going for the big if.
Of course I can't. Well, it's eyeballs I've got, no crystal balls. I can't see what's happening on Sunday.
I like that, to be fair. That's a good line. I'm happy with that.
Well, I'll tell you what, phone me next Tuesday, because I'm looking forward to his phone call.
I'm I'm late, it'll be Thursday.
That's fine, get it in the diary. That was Jim in Kilmarnock, 01419511025. He has eyeballs, not crystal balls. I'm going to use that, no doubt about it. I'm happy with that. Right, what about this teaser? I said it was murder. I have to try and catch you out because Roger gets it every week. So we're looking for 11 players since 98-99 have scored 20 or more goals in Scotland's second tier and have played for either Celtic or Rangers. Now, it doesn't include guys who are currently at the club.
Is there a significance to 98-99? Because I think that's the year Hibs come back up, so I would guess Russell Latterby.
Yes.
Oh, what a shout. Right, I had that down.
The only other ones we've got, David Fernandez at Livingston?
No.
Billy Dodge didn't do it, did he?
Nope.
Mark Burchell?
No. Seems like a good shout, to be fair to you, but it's not Mark Burchell.
Charlie Adam didn't do it, and that's the Mirren team that came up, didn't
he? No.
Many have we got?
You've got two of the 11.
Get Jim back on.
There's I thought you. All I'm going to say is when you said Hibs, I thought you were going to say someone else.
Stephen Dobie?
Nope.
Who played up front for Hibs?
That Hibs team.
And there's a link between this guy and one of Gordon's clubs that he managed.
I thought it was.
Right.
Oh, I don't know. Wraith. United.
Right.
Link with Hibs. Not big.
Pat McGinley, John Hughes.
Pat McGinley. That's not bad. We're up and running. Pat McGinley, Nicky Clark, and Russell Latterby. We're back to Kilmarnock again. It's Rob this time. Hi, Rob.
Good evening, Gordon Dale, Gordon Roger. Just wanted to put you first here, Gordon.
He's very precious, Rob, isn't he? Honestly.
Definitely. It's just it's a quick point. Hugh, at the weekend, had made a kind of comment that kind of stuck with me about how poor Scottish football would be, you know, should Brendan Rodgers leave. And as much as I get his point, and I'm a Rangers fan, I also feel that's a kind of misrepresentation, a disservice to our current crop of managers in the Scottish game. There's good managers out there, and it's no secret Brendan is a good manager. They can't deny that on the cusp of two back-to-back trebles here. But that's equivalent to saying that, you know, if you remove Pep Guardiola and Jose Mourinho, would English football no be the same? I think you could place any manager with the kind of pedigree of Brendan Rodgers, Jose Mourinho, etc., be it Celtic, Rangers, Kilmarnock, Hamilton, Hibs, whoever you want it to be. And they would be an instant success, given the fact that, you know, they do come from a better kind of pedigree. I felt that Hugh was kind of no mocking Scottish football, but Scottish football wouldn't be poorer without Brendan Rodgers. It certainly put us back in the map with the current management situation at Celtic, but I think what's going to happen is now that Brendan Rodgers' appointment, you're going to see possibly a higher calibre of manager actually coming out of Scotland, because there's two things I've looked at it. Somebody for Brendan Rodgers to come up and say, you know what, I've managed Liverpool, did Swans, I'm going to come up to Scottish football. He's now set the precedent for English managers and say, well, actually, I quite fancy my a chance at maybe a Rangers or a Celtic or a Kilmarnock.
Is that maybe what Hugh meant, Rob? Is well, that type of thing?
It's the way he kind of contextualises it, Gordon. You know, he's a big fan of Brendan Rodgers, we get that. You know, an example being, he kind of quoted Brendan Rodgers saying, you know, he was magnanimous in his defeat, you know, to Neil Lennon and Hibs, etc., etc. And so he was gracious, but so was Graham Murty the week before, but Hugh lambasted him how inappropriate he was as a manager. When Stevie Clark lost in one of his early games, he kind of said to Stevie Clark was inapt as a manager. Yet Brendan, you know, makes the same comment, and it's, you know, it just shows you how gracious this man is, etc., etc. But it will be tied to any other manager that, you know, comes out and says, oh, we lost to the better team. They're seen as kind of second-class managers, if you like. And I know Hugh's not here to defend himself. I did try to go on the other night to kind of say it. But I don't think Scottish football will be poorer if Brendan Rodgers leaves. Brendan Rodgers is going to leave. It's going to be for his reason only. What he will do is leave Scottish football a richer place. And I've got colleagues, I said I was on last week speaking to you, I've got friends down south, and they're actually talking about the vibrancy of Scottish football again. You know, it's not a foregone conclusion that Celtic have won the league in their eyes. It's closer than it was 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 seasons ago. If it's getting folk down south talking, then it must be doing something right. And which the panel's thoughts on that? I know Hugh's not there to defend himself, but he's obviously team Brendan, but I don't want him doing a disservice to other managers coming through the game in Scotland.
Roger, give us your thoughts. Keep them brief if you don't mind. I'm up against it a little bit here.
In terms of what Brendan Rodgers has brought to Scottish football, he's improved Celtic. And one of the corners was talking earlier on, Celtic have gone back to the pack a little bit, and others have come towards Celtic. I think he's probably raised the expectations of Celtic fans, and he's, you know, raised the bar in terms of what represents a challenge to Celtic. You know, be that with Neil Lennon at Hibs or Derek McInnes at Aberdeen, he's made it tougher for other managers. But you can only go with what other managers say, and they all seem to, you know, be impressed by Brendan Rodgers, his work, and also the way he speaks to them after games and helps them.
Thank you to Robin Kilmarnock. Really, really tough teaser tonight. For since 98-99, 11 players have scored 20 or more in Scotland's second tier and have played for either Celtic or Rangers. We've got Pat McGinley, Nicky Clark and Russell Latipi so far. We're going to get the rest of the answers, hopefully, next. But before we do that, listen to this. This is important because I know lots of you are trying to get active at this time of year. Well, the men's 10k in Glasgow, Sunday the 17th of June this year, Father's Day, starts at the Riverside Museum, finishes at George Square. A great route. Now, to sign up and for the chance to win a special men's 10k VIP package, all you have to do is go to Clyde1.com/men's 10k.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly.
Roger Hanna and Gordon Dalziel here with me, Gordon Duncan, in the final part of tonight's show. I think I've maybe given them the most difficult teaser of the season, and I think they're not going to get anywhere near it. So from the season 98-99, 11 players have scored 20 or more in Scotland's second tier and have played for either Celtic or Rangers. Now, this doesn't include players currently with Celtic or Rangers, or ones that scored for Rangers in the Championship. That would be a bit too straightforward. So we've got Pat McGinley, Nicky Clark, Russell Latipi so far. Anything else during the break?
This is hard. We thought of Rory Loy.
Yes,
would be one. Another one that Daz got, Kane Hemmings.
Yeah.
Yep, Kane Hemmings got 22 when he was at Cowdenbeath. So, but that's not too bad. You've clearly got all the easier ones: Rory Loy, Pat McGinley, Nicky Clark, Kane Hemmings, Russell Latipi.
Some of the teams that came up, you know, that Inverness team, is not somebody like Liam Keogh.
Not worry about Inverness. No one on this list has even played for Inverness at any point.
Not a Ryan,
I don't
Christie
think.
Or something like that.
No. You've got most of the, yeah, you've got all the most recent ones, I would say. So you're now going back a bit. So the most recent ones would be the likes of Kane Hemmings, Rory Loy. You, at the other end of it, you got Pat McGinley and Russell Latipi. So you're going back a bit for a few of the others, I would say.
Between how many Celtic, how many Rangers?
Oh, geez, right. So you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Do you know what? I think they're all Celtic, the ones that you've not got.
What about Simon Lynch?
Yes, what a shout that is. Played for Dundee and Airdrie, also played for Celtic, Simon Lynch.
Remember Simon Lynch fighting with Sean Maloney over a penalty at Tynecastle one night?
I don't remember it, but you do.
In a rare Celtic first team appearance, yeah.
Right, okay.
What a shout that is.
That is. I'm impressed with that. Are you bringing anything else to the table, Gordon?
Yeah, I'm thinking a... No.
Right, I'll give you a couple more minutes. Let's speak to Paul and Falkirk. Hi, Paul.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good, thanks. You?
Aye, not bad. Just finished work, so not a bad night. just a couple of points. Just a couple of points that I've got, really. First point, when I go back in the car, I heard you speaking about co-managers.
Yes.
I'm kind of the same as the guys. I can't think of anybody like, you know, your major teams, but obviously, I don't know if I told you, I'm a Falkirk fan. The one that sprang to mind for me was when 2002 season, when we had John Hughes and Owen Coyle as co-managers. Player managers at that point, and that seemed to work out quite well for us because we actually won the league that season.
Had Ian McCall not done all the hard work before that though?
When I said that, I kind of thought you might come and say that. Aye. He did leave, but he did take a couple of good players, Colin Samuel, one of them to be, you know, took him to Dundee United with him, but I know he laid the groundwork, but they had to then carry that on. The only other ones I can think of is the boys at Salford City. You know, the Gary Neville, Cliff and
Yeah. Do you know what, Paul? Loads of people have pointed that out on Twitter today. That's a good example, actually, Roger.
Yeah, they've had three promotions in 4 years.
Well, listen, if it works If it's the same impact at Ross County, they will be absolutely laughing. From a Falkirk point of view, Paul, obviously not been a classic season. How are you going to reflect on it all?
It's been a tough season. Definitely a tough season. I think in the summer when we had Peter Houston, Ginger God in charge, that's what he gets called up this way, you know. I think he was a bit unlucky, but he seemed to bring players in from, you know, he brought a lot of ex-Hearts and Hibs players that couldn't cut it at those clubs, brought it in yourselves. It didn't really work for him. He wasn't really looking south of the border. Hartley's came in and he's changed it up. You know, he's brought Kubiak in from Watford on loan, young Nelson from Sunderland, brought a couple of players in, Longridge from Hamilton. He's brought in good young players. And I think if he uses that as a catalyst to kind of go forward, I think next season, hopefully we could probably do a St Mirren, because we're probably a little bit ahead of points-wise where St Mirren were last season. But we're finishing roughly in the same part of the league. So I'm just hoping that you can use that, you know, to kind of build.
And then, of course, Paul, Alex Smith is counting down the days, point. I would imagine.
Yeah, that was actually my second point. What a guy. I've been fortunate to meet him a few times at various events around the town and down at the club. You know, just stand-up guy, got the time for everybody. You know, he sat down with my little boy, he's only five, and he had a wee conversation with him and got him signed tops. And I just hope that all the Falkirk fans come out at the weekend. I know we've not had a good season, but I hope they come out to honour this guy because, you know, six decades in Scottish football.
Yeah, you'd go along with that, wouldn't you?
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt. I know Alec very, very well. He's, as the caller's saying there, he's a terrific guy. Different class, and you're right. I hope everybody comes out and applauds him.
Big thank you to Paul and Falkirk.
We wish him all the best in his new life in Brisbane.
I'm sure he'll enjoy it.
If Australia don't do very well at the World Cup finals in the summer, there's a ready-made head coach waiting for them when they go home.
Exactly. Thanks to Paul and Falkirk. Right, any more in this teaser?
Yeah, I'm going to pull out the best one ever here. Roger Hans got to be the best.
Go for it.
Only if it's right.
That is right.
Go.
How do you know?
Go.
Ryan Conroy Airdrie.
Well, you had him at Airdrie.
Yeah.
He is one of the
answers.
Is that
right?
Because he's played with a number of teams down there and only a couple of appearances for Celtic as well.
I wonder if we're too early. Jerry Britton.
You've got it. Jerry Britton.
Roger.
Superb. Right, so only a couple left to go.
Three to go?
Yep.
Craig Beattie?
No.
The only other thought we had was John Paul McGovern.
No, and no. Hugh has just said that on Twitter as well. I think I saw a tweet along those lines. Right, so you've got three to get. Right, I'm going to need to give you clues. So I'll give you the clubs that they were at in the second tier, okay?
Mm-hmm.
First one, Queen of the South and St Mirren.
The silence is deafening.
I know, that's not great. Right, another one, St Johnstone and Stirling and Celtic, of course.
Oh my Chris Hay.
Yes, Chris Hay. Well done to you, Roger. Hannah, this should be the easiest one that you've not got, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
St Johnstone, Dunfermline, Partick and Celtic.
Simon Donnelly. Oh my
well
god
done.
I've done about him earlier on.
Which means only one more to get. Like I said, I'll repeat,
so
Queen of
Celtic,
the South and St Mirren.
Queen of the South and St Mirren.
Mm-hmm. I think it was, yeah, I'll just double check to make sure the information is correct, but that's,
I'm out.
Who is it? Queen of the South and St Mirren does. Come on.
No,
is it initials J-O? Right, I'm going to need to tell you, John O'Neill. Right, thanks to Roger Hanna and Gordon. We're back tomorrow night from 6 o'clock. And don't go anywhere, because Callum Gallagher is up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.